Well, good afternoon. Thank you for coming on into the conference on, or the workshop on promoting and marketing relational wisdom, peacemaking, and Christian conciliation. This is not one of the more pizzazzy workshops, but I find that it's actually something that really is incredibly important. Marketing and promotion have always been the Achilles heel of Christian conciliation. Over 50 conciliation ministries have been established over the years, and most of those withered away for lack of financial viability. And it happened again and again. We offer a valuable service. We can save marriages. We can help businesses stay in place. We can prevent church splits. And yet, actually finding the ongoing financial support for that work was really very, very challenging. And I think of a story one of our major donors told me one time. He had a company that made machines that cleaned the silicon wafers out of which they make electronic chips. And each of these machines, very highly sophisticated processes to make the machines, and each of the machines was sold for $1 million each. And this guy had hired some of the best technicians and engineers in the field. They invented better and better processes. They were the top of the field. And I asked him one day, I said, what was the secret of your success to develop this really large business with 1,000 employees? And he said, Ken, I've got the best engineers in the industry. We have the best technology in the industry. But what makes or breaks our company is our marketing team. Because you can have a really, really good product, and if you can't get it out there, it doesn't do any good. Now, you can't have really good marketing and a bad product either. That won't work very long either. But being able to get out there and to actually communicate to people what you're selling, what you're offering, what you're providing to the community in an effective way that they want to do it is really a vital, vital part of this ministry. And that's what I want to talk about today is some of the very practical ways, just one second, let me get in here, go, that you can do this. If you want to get out there and do it more and communicate these services and concepts and do more teaching and so on. So I want to just walk through some very practical, simple ways that you can extend your impact as you teach and provide these kind of services. Now, many of you could be in different kinds of levels of involvement in these concepts. You could be just a friend of our ministry, just come to know about us, and you'd like to let others know about it. You just want to tell your friends about it, and that's great. You could go back and pull out your contact list and say, yeah, it was a great conference this week, and lots of good things I learned. Here's a copy of the website. Here's one particular article I like or something. And you could just do that in a very informal way and just share these things. And I've seen God providentially use that kind of casual friendship sharing to touch and save lives. So if that's the only thing you want to do, I'm grateful for it, and I want to encourage it. You could also decide that you'd like to be what we call an RW presenter, someone who is taking this material out, taking the initiative to take it into new venues, expose it to new people, and not on a professional basis, not looking to generate revenue or income, but you like it. You're excited about it. And I think of a good friend of mine in our church who's a Gideon. He just loves going out every weekend and putting Bibles in the motel nightstands, and that's his passion, is spreading the word of God. And so that's what we train our presenters to do. They know enough about relational wisdom, and then the new course we're going to be coming out with next month on relational peacemaking, so there'll be actually two products that are available, but they just want to share with other people. And this morning we had a workshop by David Mason, who has been our sort of our poster child of going out into the community using primarily the values-based secular material to go out and just present this in businesses, convalescent centers, hospitals, construction companies, insurance companies, the list goes on and on. And he just loves sharing these concepts with people. He's a natural born teacher and trainer. He's a pastor. But it has also had the side benefit of bringing many people into his church. He said every time he goes in the community and teaches in a secular setting, the following Sunday, there's somebody who walks through the back door of the church. They said, I've never knew the church taught these kind of things. And many of those people were not even Christians yet, and they came to know Christ through that. So you could be in a presenter mode, informally just sharing these things. We do have a certification track for instructors, and that's a higher level. You do all the presenter training and do some practical experience, read some books, you move up to the next level being certified as an instructor. When you get to that level, you get access to all of our teaching material, all the PowerPoints, the study guides, the marketing promotion materials, and you have the ability to teach the material yourself, to teach a full seminar yourself and adapt it to a particular setting. So there's instructors who are going and doing men's retreats or women's retreats, focusing just on issues to be relevant to that particular audience, just to business people and to the military. And they actually can change some of the illustrations on the slides, some of the terminology slightly. We don't want to get way off into any kind of really, you know, outside the boundary lines, but within limits, we love to have our instructors modify the material to suit a particular venue. And you've seen some of that this weekend. There's the workshop done earlier today for crisis pregnancy centers. And you would communicate and teach in that venue to workers and volunteers how they're dealing with women in a crisis pregnancy, dealing with a boyfriend and a family and all that stuff differently than you would a group of police officers. So our instructors have the latitude then to modify the material for particular venues. And then what we're going to be developing in the coming year is new training, merging RW and peacemaking with higher level training of coaching, RW skills coaching, and conflict coaching. And some people would like to do that, not just as a ministry, which would be great, a volunteer ministry in the local church would be just outstanding, but some of those folks are looking forward to doing this. People are already starting through some of that training on a professional fee basis. And I should mention, even at the instructor level, we want to set that up in a way that if people want to invest in that training and put some substantial time into it, that they can actually get a return. One of our instructors just recently did a three-hour workshop for a Christian school and got $1,600. That's not a bad return on a three-hour seminar. And that's one of the things I've always felt sad about before with Peacemaker, that we had so many people went through the training yet had a hard time really getting any kind of financial return on that investment. Now, I always tell people, don't give up your day job. Not a lot of people can immediately move into a full-time profession doing this. But if somebody devotes one or two weekends a month to teaching this stuff and can make $2,000-$3,000, that's great. And frankly, I think especially some of the people I find most interested in that are pastors looking to do, you know, what will I do once I retire from pastoral ministry? I'd still like to be involved. I love teaching. I love people. And it wouldn't hurt if I had a little bit of extra income. I don't know too many pastors tell me they've got a really nice, 401k sitting there. Most of the time they don't have as much as they need. So I'd love it. I'd like nothing better to see people with all that experience in doing ministry be able to channel that experience into teaching and instructing and even coaching and actually generating some income to make their retirement years more comfortable. So all of those things. And then certified conciliators, we do have quite a few of those people doing it full time. And I'd love to find, you know, provide them with ways they can actually generate more work and be as busy as they would like to be. Would be great. So there's a lot of different roles. What are the products and services? I'm sorry, I'm not following my thing here. Just a second. What are the products and services that we'd like to have you be able to offer? Well, there's several things. One is to, thank you, Sue. One of them is to resell sources and online access to the course. We want to set this up that if people are promoting our resources and basically selling them, that they would receive a part of the profit of doing that. So it's worth their effort. Now we're not a pyramid scheme. We're not going to go out and just try to generate money for the sake of money. But if you're out there spending time and energy talking to businesses, talking how they can use this for professional development for their employers, and they say, oh wow, we've got, you know, one of the groups I've worked with, 800 employees. And if we sell seats at the online table for 800 employees, or someone else does, and it generates a lot of money for our ministry, I'd love to see the person who made that sale get something out of it too. So we have a arrangement there where a percentage of that goes to the instructor. Some of you may want to actually market live training, going out and doing seminars, charging a fee, or doing it through webinars. A lot of our work now is done through Zoom on webinars, which I love. I used to fly out, when I do a live seminar on a Saturday, I'd usually fly out on a Thursday just because I didn't want to take a chance of bad connections on a Friday flight keep me from being there to fulfill a commitment. So I'd leave on a Thursday, spend Friday working in a hotel room at about 50% of my normal efficiency, and then do my seminar and fly back on a Sunday. So that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 hours for a one-day seminar. Now I can go down to my desk, turn on my computer Saturday morning, do my webinar, and when I'm done, I've got the rest of the afternoon with my family. So I actually really see a lot of advantages to doing things remotely, although I must admit I still prefer live face-to-face training. There's something you just can't replace with it. So I'm happy to do either one. And then so you've got resources and services, live training, skills coaching, conciliation services. So there's quite a few things that we have now to market and promote. But what is it you're really promoting? If I run into someone who I can tell from their question just really thinks, I'm not making a very good living this way, I want a new way to make a living, and what do I have to do to make a paycheck, I'll do. I'm not enthused about encouraging a person who looks at this simply as a job, because you're not going to do it with all your heart. If this is a passion that you want to share these principles because you believe in them, because they've impacted your life, and especially because you think it may be part of God's process leading someone toward Christ, that's the kind of people we'd like to have in our network. And I remember years ago, a speaker at a Christian Legal Society conference said that too often Christians view evangelism, sharing the gospel, as a football game where the ideal play is you catch the ball and run 100 yards in one play. That's the ideal play, and we all stand up and cheer. That rarely happens in terms of conversion. You usually meet somebody, you talk to them, you see there's a little bit different, they seem to manage their temper well, you're 2 yards down the field. You meet another Christian a year later and something he or she says moves you a couple yards. And the typical person comes to Christ over quite a few plays over quite a long time. But part of that can be us getting out there, sharing these principles, giving a witness, giving a testimony that people see, and they can eventually come to Christ. And to me, that's the ultimate end game. If I can help people develop skills to make their marriage better, prevent a divorce, praise God. And it keeps children in a united home, praise God. If I can help a businessman bring skills in that make his employees happier, more productive, reduce his staff turnover, and they even have a better bottom line, praise God. But those are all secondary benefits to me. They're temporal benefits. The ultimate benefit is someone coming to know Jesus Christ. So to me, the best person doing this work is the one who loves to use any channel he or she can to get Jesus Christ and his gospel in front of other people. That's the real thing we want to bring to people. And so it's a winsome introduction to Jesus and his gospel. I hope that's the main thing that gets you excited, because it's what gets me up in the morning. We have to think a little bit about what is it that actually triggers a decision on another person's side to actually say, yeah, we're going to buy that online set. I'm going to bring you in and do training. Well, one thing that triggers a lot of sales, if you want to use just that succinct word, is felt needs. A church can be going through a lot of conflict. They can just see that, man, we're just divided. My elder board and I are at odds with each other all the time. We need help. So there's an immediate felt need. If a marriage is struggling and somebody's hinted that she's thinking about getting a divorce, suddenly the husband may be very motivated to get involved in coaching or conciliation. So felt needs are one of the greatest drivers. And I'll take felt needs. I'd rather have other motivations, frankly, other than just a last-ditch effort out of desperation. Emotions can be a big, big, big part of getting people motivated. In fact, most of our decisions in life, frankly, are made emotionally. You may have a situation here in Billings where a guy's driving home from work and he sees this beautiful, beautiful new black shiny pickup truck in the parking lot, and he says, "Oh man, that's a neat truck, and that's even nicer than my friend Billy Bob has." And he goes home and he says, "You know, honey, I thought of some ways to save some money. Every winter I could go up the mountains and cut firewood and bring it down and save the." He has all these rational reasons on how he tries to justify buying a new pickup truck, but it's basically an emotional decision. Most of the decisions we make in life are emotional, and then we use our reasoning capacity to justify those decisions. So when we can tap into the emotions of people on these concepts, and of course relationships are loaded with emotions. Most of the emotions in life, both the unpleasant ones and the pleasant ones, involve emotion. You know, when you first see that person that eventually you're going to marry, there's this emotional attraction, and suddenly you're just determined, I'm going to get to know this person, spend time with this person. You're moved by that desire and that attraction. So I find that telling personal stories about how these principles have impacted your life or someone else's life are hugely important in trying to interest people in these concepts and say, yeah, I think I need to look into this. So I'm always ready with a story. And as you can tell from this conference, if you've heard, you know, much of my teaching, you know I use a lot of personal stories. And part of that is I want people to feel an emotional connection with me, that they say, oh wow, he's feeling the same thing I do. He struggles in the same way I do. He makes the same mistakes I do, and this material seems to be helping him. So if there's an emotional connection between us, it really helps in that process. And I'll just give you an example. Whenever the deacons in our church over the years have been making an announcement and encouraging people to give to the diaconal fund of the church. And this is money that's set aside to help the material needs of members of the congregation and sometimes people outside the congregation who just come to us and say, I need help. And so we like to keep a good fund there. And anytime I've heard the deacons get up there and say, here's the things we do with our diaconal fund. We help people this and single parent, you know, mothers. And if they give a bullet list, it has minimal effect. But when they get up there and say, let me tell you a story about Alice. Alice came to us about 3 months ago. She was new in town. Her car had broken down. The apartment she thought she was going to lease was filled up, and she didn't know where to go. She had three little children, and she was desperate. Someone gave her the name of our church, and they got in touch with one of our deacons. The next day, Alice was in an apartment. Her car had a tank of gas. It's because of the money you give to our diaconal fund. That's when people open their checkbooks. So never underestimate the power of sincere, authentic stories. Not manipulation, not exaggeration, but true, authentic stories is just huge. We can also present people with practical benefits of these resources and this training. And there can be personal benefits, improved personal relationships, less conflict in their lives, improved job performance, career advancement. One of the articles I find to be most helpful is on our website, and I thought I had a link. Yeah, it's down at the bottom of your page. If you go back, if you go to our website and to the sessions page, and for each session, there's a link at the bottom of the page. You can download the handout, which I've got for this thing. There's live links in my handout that will take you to some of the articles I refer to, and you can download those. But the article, it's entitled Employees Reap a Double Benefit from RW Training. And I spent quite a bit of time researching the studies that are out there on the benefits of corporations using training in relational skills, primarily emotional intelligence. That's the really big thing today. So there's a lot of studies on it. Over 3,000 documented solid scientific studies on the benefit of teaching EI. And one of the things, frankly, I love about free enterprise and the capitalist system is that businesses are really motivated to be profitable and successful. And so when they see a new tool or technique or process that might make them a little bit more profitable, a little bit better than their competitor, they're going to test it out to see if it gives them the edge. And if it works, they'll keep using it. If they don't, they throw it aside because it's not working. Now, that's different from churches. Churches keep doing the same stupid things year after year after year, whether they work or not. So I look to the corporate world for some pretty objective, pragmatic evaluations of things. And so these studies show the corporations have found that investing thousands of dollars in emotional intelligence professional development training returns a financial benefit, and that's their bottom line motivator, to the company. And the studies in that, the article, you'll see a link to a study that found that when corporations invest in this kind of skill training, now it's not on biblical training, I think it would even be a higher return on our training, frankly, because it's biblical and Holy Spirit inspired, but just on secular, good secular EI training, the return on investment documented by studies is $1.50 to $6.65 for every dollar invested. Now, you show me a stock I can get a 600% return on, I'll put all my money, I'll mortgage my house. That's a huge financial return. That's the lower staff turnover, more creativity, better teamwork, better skill transference, all sorts of things that go on. And just think about this one area of skill transference. When there's unhealthy relationships and there's competition within a team within an organization, and there's jealousy and bitterness, they're going to hold their experience themselves. They're going to hold their creative ideas to themselves. They're not gonna, if they see a worker that's got a great idea, they're not going to say, hey, that's good, do it. They're going to put it down. They're going to diminish. There's backbiting, undermining, holding on to things. There's none of the productivity. But when you've got a team of people who really like each other, believe in each other, support each other, want to see each other succeed, rejoice in the other person's advancement even more than their own, they're sharing, they're encouraging, they're pushing each other onward. And that's what this kind of skill training can do. And so all those things turn over to a more productive company, which results in higher profitability. And frankly, another part of the study is when you've got a happy, productive, relational group of people working for you, your customers pick up on it. Your clients feel valued. It filters over to them. They like doing business with you. And one of the things I loved, I was honored all the years I worked at Peacemaker Ministries, was I heard again and again and again how much people loved just calling our office. It's almost like they wanted an excuse to call and talk part of the team was so relational, so encouraging, so helpful. So these things can really benefit a company, a church, a ministry in productivity areas. But there's organizational benefits too of just better relationships, less conflict, greater impact as a ministry, better growth. Think of a mission, you know, all the studies on mission work indicate that the number one reason people come off the mission field prematurely. It's not because they can't stand the humidity in Central Africa. They can't stand the co-workers in Central Africa. It's relational difficulties. So mission organizations can be motivated by the fact we're seeing, you know, 20% of our people come off the field every year. And there's a huge investment in training and placing a missionary. And if they can reduce that leaving the field percentage by just a bit, that more than pays for the investment. So it makes their ministry more productive. And so we can point out these benefits as we're talking to people. I never put the financial benefits front and center, even in a corporate setting, because I'd rather have them think more, you know, you've got happier employees, greater loyalty, more productivity, they like working for you, they're happy to be here. To me, one of the greatest tests if you've got a good company is, do your employees, spouses, and children, are they glad the dad works for your company? That's a real test. Now, if dad comes home grumpy and mad and say, I got a terrible boss, no one appreciates me, that's going to filter to the family. So you can learn a lot about how your employees feel by having family activities and just sort of seeing how the family is with you. Another selling point with our material now is we have both faith-based and values-based material. And this has hugely changed our ability to go outside the walls of the church. Up until now, we've worked almost exclusively within the church and parachurch ministries, places that are explicitly biblical. And I keep forgetting this. what we can do now is we can go to a business and say we can do a secular presentation with no biblical content in it for your employees. These are skills that are proven by these studies to be beneficial for you. And I think everything I've done in a corporation so far has been triggered by a Christian business owner or Christian manager. Someone on the inside is a believer, appreciates the foundational basis of the material, wants to bring it in, but they know that bringing it in on a values basis makes it acceptable to the owners of the company, but it opens the door to actually expose people to the gospel. So that's the main way. Another thing that can motivate people to use our training now, the RW training, is that we've gotten approved for CEU credit in a number of professions. Teachers, public school teachers in Montana can get CEU credit for our training. Nurses in Montana can get CEU training. Counselors, social workers. The Christian Legal Society has been able to get CEU credit when we do training for their national conference. And so, and then I've had other individuals, we didn't officially get the CEU certificate from the organization, but they simply use a lot of the documents we've developed, especially the secular study guide, which has got a lot of pretty high-end studies in it on values and worldview and conflict and all that. And I've yet to have one of the people come back and tell me that it wasn't accepted for CEU credit. So on a case-by-case basis, it's been very successful too. And that's big because professionals have to get so many hours of continuing education every year. You can use that as a selling point. What are your potential markets? Oops, just a second. There are so many potential markets for this material. In the study guide, here's what I've listed. Individuals, churches is still our sweet spot. That's still our passion. We've just recently translated the online course in Relational Wisdom into Spanish. Chinese is well down the pipeline, should be completed by the end of the year. Denominations and church denominational districts, parachurch ministries, Christian-owned or managed businesses, business networks, Christian professionals that want to continue education, schools, both public and private, healthcare, chaplains. We're doing a lot of work with military, police, corporate chaplains, law enforcement, military units, sports teams, public servants, political situations. One of our trainers has done some work with city councils that have had conflict. They need someone to come in and help them figure out a way to work with each other. Seminaries, colleges, universities, mission organizations, prison and jail ministry. I mean, basically anywhere you've got people that are in a relationship, this is relevant. But those are some markets. Yes, Steve.
Ken, I've got another category for
you. What's that?
Christian-related insurance companies.
Oh.
Guide One.
Brotherhood Mutual.
Yeah. I did a mediation for Brotherhood Mutual about 2 weeks ago, and it was just phenomenal. And
correct.
The defense attorney that was involved says, this is my best client because they give the benefit of the doubt to the injured worker. It's a workers' comp case.
That's great.
And so, in this particular case, there wasn't a need to necessarily do a lot of relational work, but I could see the potential for it, so I'm going to be talking to them about, I'd love to do all of your work here.
Good. That'd be terrific. And actually, we've got a good relationship with Brotherhood. If you look at our conciliation page, they did an article that I wrote a few months ago on trying to reduce conflict in the church. But we actually have a link to something on their website where when people have questions about potential legal liability that might have insurance implications, you can actually call up a representative through our website to do it. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because that is a very valuable thing to put on here. A lot of those cases have major financial and legal implications, but they're still largely relational. And if you can bring that component in, everybody can walk away content. I'll add that to our list, Stephen. Thank you. What are the resources you've got available to use? One of the simplest ones, it's free, is a smartphone app. Just go to your smartphone store, Apple or Google, and just put in RW360, and you can upload the app. It has both the values-based and the faith-based version on it. Just touch a button, you can switch from one to the other. I use this for witnessing all the time. if I'm traveling and I'm on the airplane, I'm just talking to somebody, what do you do? And I sense he's open, I'll say, oh, let me show you. And I'll pull up the app, start with the values-based thing, walk through the whole thing from a values perspective. And if I sense the person's open to it, I don't do this all the time, but I'll say, actually, personally, I use a slightly different version. Let me show you that. And I click the faith-based, and I explain the difference between values-based and God-based. I say, my value system is defined by my relationship with Jesus Christ. And people go, oh. But it's a very simple free tool you can give to anybody. Our website, you can point a lot of people to our website, wealth of information there. Seminar study guides, I hand those out all over the place. We specifically designed those with a very positive initial visual impact. We want them looking professional and high quality, just on the cover. And then as they get into it, to see that there's, wow, this is well organized, it's thoughtful, it's logical. Excuse me. The pocket portfolio we have, our certified people can purchase those. So if you're doing a presentation for 6 executives at a company to try to persuade them to bring you in to do consulting work, you can make a really nice portfolio presentation to them. And one thing I've learned over the years is initial visual impact has a big effect on how people evaluate. If you come in with some photocopied things that are, you know, stapled somewhat together, and it just doesn't give the impact. And frankly, there's a lot of companies and ministries and organizations out there that you're competing with, and most of them learn that investing in good design and visual impact is how they edge out their competitors. So we have to have a good presentation of our materials. We have the pamphlets now, faith and values based. There's one on peacemaking. There's an RW training insert. Most of these things are in your portfolio. Online scholarship coupons. When we go out, we can give coupons to people. For example, if you're going to go in and do some training, I'm a big believer, mainly because I'm married to Corlette. Corlette loves bargains. She loves bargains. I think of an old cartoon I saw, Dagwood and Blondie, and Blondie came home with a whole armful of boxes, and she said, what are you going to do with all the money I saved on the sales today? And she spent a lot of money, but she's focused on all the savings she got. And there's a lot of people, when they see they can save some money, get a 10%, 50% discount, suddenly they, I want to take advantage of this. So we've got coupons you can use. If you can go in and say, hey, let me give this coupon, you can get an X, you know, reduction on it. We actually give a lot of different levels of discounts, and we work with people on that. Our blog and free downloads. Every day when I'm responding to emails, I rarely respond to an inquiry on an employment dispute, church split, marital issue, parenting issue, you name it, without saying, here's some information generally about our ministry, but these blog posts might be particularly helpful to you today. And if you go to our resources tab, you drop down, it says RW blog, you go there, and there's like 45 different categories: pastoral ministry, health concerns, aging, parenting, marriage. And you can pick out 2 or 3 of those articles and send that with your email back to somebody. And it's really interesting. When they see an article that directly applies these principles to a situation they're right in the middle of, that's where you get an emotional connection. So feel free to use lots of links to relevant articles. Water bottles, caps, and pens. Now that may seem like just a bunch of, what do they call it, swag, something we all get. We developed those for a very deliberate reason. And that water bottle, that black water bottle, it has quite a dramatic look to it. It really, yeah, there we go. And we designed that specifically, and frankly, I'll tell you, it's not the great next version where you can get something more insulated. It's aluminum, it's not insulated, so it doesn't keep things cold or hot for very long. But if you set that on your desk in an office in a visible place, it is only a matter of time before someone comes in and says, so what's relational wisdom? And you want that question. It's so much better than going around saying, hey, can I tell you about relational wisdom? If someone asks you, it just opens up a whole door. And so one of the things, especially when people get, anybody can buy the coffee cup, the water bottle, some of those basic things. But when people get certified, they can also start getting hats or anybody can have the hat, I guess. But shirts and jackets and vests with the logo, because we want you when you go out doing teaching and training to have a nice corporate look to those things. So those things are available as well. What are some of the avenues of getting out there and actually penetrating some of these markets? Personal relationship, there's no substitute for personal relationships. And right now, if you wanted to go out, let's say 6 months from now you were certified as an RW instructor, if that was your first step in your process of getting more involved, and you wanted to start doing some training out there, the best place you could start is your friends. And frankly, if you've only got three friends in the world, you never should have started through the course in the first place, because you've got major relational deficits. But assuming you've got a healthy network of friends and business contacts who like you, who respect you, who've seen you engage people in constructive ways, is to simply call them and say, hey, I recently got certified as an RW instructor. I'm really excited about this material. I'd love to take you out to lunch and show it to you and just describe it and see if this is something you might think would be worthwhile in your company. And most churches have got quite a few people who own or manage businesses. And so right in your own church, you probably have quite a large network of people who are employing other people who would be marvelous candidates. You may know the people who are leading local ministries, a rescue mission here in town, a women's shelter, a homeless ministry. As you meet those people and you can go and serve them, a lot of your initial training will be probably people that can't afford to pay you. You're just going to do this to get out there and do ministry, get some experience, get some practice doing it, and get some visibility on teaching these things. So those personal relationships and networks are huge. In a minute, I'll show you some material you can use to really sort of amp that up. Word of mouth, testimonies, and referrals. There's no substitute for those either. Getting people to go through your training and start telling other people about it. That's a real valuable thing. Social media is a big thing today, developing a social media presence. Calling people up, talking on the phone, doing a Zoom. I find a phone call can be good, a Zoom is even better. You get the facial expressions, you get some eye contact, it's closer, not quite the same, but it's closer to a personal meeting. Face-to-face conversations, they're the best. And let me just give you a good illustration of how important they are. Years ago, when I was starting the Christian Conciliation Service in Montana, here in Billings, I got the addresses before emails came out. That's how long ago it was. But I got the physical addresses of all the pastors in town. I started sending out letters and newsletters to them and everything else, developing interest and everything else. And we just slowly built recognition and cases started coming in. And one day I just decided to actually start being more deliberate on meeting some people face-to-face that I'd not yet met. And there was a pastor here in town named Lynn Howe, Westside Baptist Church. He had been on my mailing list for like 4 years. He'd never participated in any seminars, taken advantage of anything. And I just one day felt moved to call Lynn up and say, could I come by and have a cup of coffee? I just want to talk to you about our ministry. And he was friendly enough to allow me to do that. Went out there, we sat down. And here's a man who'd been receiving our newsletters for 4 years, had shown zero interest in the ministry, and yet I sat down in his study with a cup of coffee, and in about 20 minutes, Lynn said, oh man, I wish I'd started using your stuff about 3 years ago. We could really, this is so solid, so biblical. And it was that face-to-face connection. You don't develop a bond with a piece of paper or a newsletter. It's a person. And even though we can communicate some of who we are through our correspondence and stuff, there is no substitute. You know, it says in the Bible that Moses knew God face to face. And if we can know people face to face. So I would say if you're going to try to build a practice, and again, don't give up your day job, but if you want to build an ongoing, increasingly active ministry, that might be the better word, just say that I'm gonna schedule 2 face-to-face meetings a month. I'm gonna call up a pastor, either drop by. Sometimes you have to make it really easy to go by his church to meet in his study to save him the time. Other times they, you know, I always say, what would you prefer? I can come by the church and meet with you, or I'll meet you at City Brew. And sometimes they want to get out and have coffee somewhere else. But have those personal meetings, and then be sure to follow up. Don't rely on a one-time overture. And boy, I've learned this again and again. I cannot tell you how many cases came to me at when I was doing conciliation work with CCS of Montana and then Peacemaker, where I'd ask people, well, how did you hear about us? They've just, you know, come in, made an appointment, they want some help in conciliation. And I asked, how did you hear about us? And time after time, I get this sheepish look on their face. Well, my brother-in-law told me about you about 2 years ago and said I should do it. I didn't do anything. And then last year, you know, there's a guy at work said I should do it. And then finally last week, my wife said I should really. And I was amazed how many times I heard people talk about three specific referrals. So sometimes they need three touches to actually finally get some interest in you. And so just continue to reach out there to people like that. Let's talk about a sample strategy here. I want to walk you through a very specific way that you could start putting some of those components together. Let me just look quickly here. Okay, we're supposed to be done at 3:05. We got plenty of time. Number one, focus first on enhancing your own relational peacemaking skills. Now, some of you are completely new to our ministry, and so you're basically starting at ground zero. Others have had a lot of training, and you're just looking at some of our resources as something that would complement and enhance the training you've already had. But really focus in, first of all, on developing and living these things out in your own life. And if that means a year or two of just really saying, Lord, help me to grow in relational wisdom. Help me to do a better job of peacemaking. Whatever time it takes to really get into this material, make it part of your life. And in my case, you know, I rely a lot on my wife as a barometer. How am I doing? Are you feeling safe? Are you feeling listened to? Do you feel free coming and bringing things? How do I take correction? Do you see me relating to the children well? When I was a peacemaker, we had a staff of 42 people there, and I relied a lot on my executives and, frankly, Chris Hart, my executive assistant, for feedback. How am I doing? Where do I need to grow? Where do I need to improve? So really work with them in developing your skills and abilities, completing, going through whatever training you want to do, starting typically as a presenter, getting some experiences going out, doing short informal presentations, instructor, and then it'd be moving up into the coach and conciliator. Start sharing RW, peacemaking information, blogs, testimonies, etc., through your own personal professional network. The fastest person I've ever seen do this, I did a seminar here in Billings many, many years ago on a Saturday, and the next day after church, I took my mom out to lunch at a local sandwich shop, and I noticed two young men came in, sat down at the table next to us, and one of them pulled out one of our Peacemaker pamphlets and started walking through the pamphlet with the other young guy, and I was sort of watching this, and I was sort of trying to listen in what they were saying, and he noticed me. He said, oh, well, yeah, there's the guy right there. He had attended the seminar the day before. He knew of a coworker at the office who was having some relational struggles, and the next day he took him out and was walking him through the material. That was such a thrill to me. That was such a thrill to me to see someone putting these things into practice. So look for ways to start sharing. It can be something very informal about these things. It can either be just someone you know that could use these. Most of us probably can think of somebody right now who could use some of this instruction and this encouragement. Meet personally with your pastor and church leaders to gain their support. I always want to try to make sure that people, in my case, I wanted to make sure that the church leaders saw me not as trying to pull resources and time and things away from the church, but I wanted to serve the church. I wanted to be a servant and a blessing to the church. So really make sure you communicate your desire to serve your local church as a priority. That should be like home base. Where you're doing this. Meet with them, answer questions. If you can get them involved to some degree in it, that's been a big way for me to get people involved here in Billings, is to say, would you be willing to sit in on a mediation? You're a seasoned pastor. I know you're not trained. I can manage the process, but I think your discernment, your counsel, your wisdom would be very helpful. And that's how a lot of people got involved. They got into it, and they saw it, and they were just, I mean, one guy said, it's just, I'm addicted. I'm hooked. This is so exciting. This is so thrilling. So get involved with the church leadership and get their support. Don't try to move the ball too quickly. In some cases, what you need to do is at least get them to give sort of a cautious, well, okay, sounds okay. Maybe get a copy of the Peacemaker and say, you know, this is the book that is sort of the basis for a lot of the conflict resolution. And I'd frankly appreciate if you'd sort of check it out and let me know if you think it's theologically solid. Is it compatible with our our theological system in our church. Give your church leadership plenty of time to come up to speed, to feel real confident and comfortable in what you're doing. You could offer to lead a small group study in your church, and you might say if you're in a growth group, for example, I just talked to someone over lunch, and he's going to go home and actually take one of our DVD sets and go through the small group study with his growth group between now and Christmas. And he hopes that the feedback from that to the church leadership, the elders of the church, is going to be, wow, this stuff has really helped me. So it would not just be him advocating for it, but he'd have other people who've just recently gone through it that could actually give testimony to how helpful the information was in their lives. That's when church elders start to pay attention. They start to pay attention. You can offer to do presentations at other churches. I've gone into lots of churches here in Billings and just done a single Sunday school class. Just said, you know, I'll come in and expose your people to it if you want to. That's usually after I've developed a relationship of trust with the pastor. They don't just have anybody come in to do Sunday school. But if they get to know you, they might be very grateful and appreciative. We have at times hosted lunches where we paid for the lunch for pastors. Or coffees or desserts. You could put a little financial investment. Usually I find a donor who's willing to put up the money to support something like that just to promote what we're doing here. And most pastors will be happy to come to a free lunch with a credible organization. And so you could reach out to them and do something like that. How many of you are attorneys? Okay, just like three. Okay, just three. Are you part of a Christian Legal Society local chapter? Are you? Okay. That'd be another place to work. I'm going to be doing a meeting with the CLS chapter down in Colorado Springs in 2 weeks. And CLS chapters are really a good place to start sharing these things as well. The one thing I would strongly encourage you to do if you're going to try to start building a ministry like this, and again, not as a vocation, but as this is where God can use your spiritual gifts and some of your time, is find someone else to work with you. Trying to do this all by yourself, it can just get discouraging. You spend a lot of time working and effort, you don't see a lot of fruit. You need someone to walk alongside you and brainstorm and encourage you and everything else. So try to find some other people that would share your interest. You can ask friends to introduce you to their personal and professional contacts. If you look at the very end of this handout, I've actually included a model email. And you're free to just adapt this to your use, and you can download this when you download this study guide or this handout. And you'll notice that I just sort of basically say, here's what I'm doing. I'm looking for opportunities to teach. I'd be happy to meet with you initially, show you the material so you can be comfortable with it. And if you are and you want to just share these concepts with some of your friends, introduce me to them. I would appreciate it. Here's some links to some potential articles might be able to. You know, most of us have got a pretty good sized contact list at this point because of social media and emails. And you could just send it out to maybe half a dozen of your closest professional ministry contacts in the community and just see if two or three of them come back and say, yeah, I'd love to, let's get together for lunch. I'd like to know more about this. And it can just slowly ramp up as you get some increasing credibility with those people. And you can send it out to a wider and wider range. You can reach out directly to very specific churches, ministries, businesses, police and fire departments, other first responders, government offices. A lot of it depends on your personal contacts. Who do you know? What's your reputation? What's your credibility in the community? And then as you gain visibility, one of the main things for those of you who are how many of you are doing conciliation work, actual conciliation? Okay. One of the things where this is drawing mostly my experience at Peacemaker, that people would go through the conciliator training, eager to serve and put those gifts to use, and they just weren't getting a lot of cases. That was one of our big challenges. And I think one thing that could help that, and we're trying to help through the development material, is if you get out there and do some training, teaching, presentations, whether it's a half hour or 2 or 3 hours, get exposure. And if you go in, offer to do a 2-hour presentation on a Saturday morning for the men's group at First Church, And they say, yeah, some of our men might be interested in that. And you go in there, there's going to be two or three business people in there that maybe a month later, they're going to say, oh, man, I've got this employment. Who was that guy that came in? And, oh, yeah. So it gives you exposure. It gives you credibility. It gives you visibility. So I would say even if your main passion is conciliation or coaching, you can use a teaching and training ministry to simply increase your visibility and your credibility in your community. Personally, I'm at the point now, my favorite thing is teaching and training. Conciliating is not as much fun for me as it used to be. I've gotten weary. I've gotten weary of people, I guess. There's an old Peanuts commercial where Linus says to Charlie Brown, "I love mankind. It's people I have a hard time with." You know? I actually really enjoy coaching, though. I love coaching, talking to somebody about what they do. But it's when you actually sit down with two people and they just, you know what they should do, and they're digging their heels in, and it's like raising teenagers, you know? It's really hard. So I'll just be honest. I love teaching and training. I'll go anywhere to do teaching and training. I love it. And I still do enough of the other things to keep my skills current. But whatever your passion is, whatever your gifting is, you can use these things in a complementary way to get out there and do it. So here's the question I'd have for you to think about is, given your situation, your training, your gifts, your skills, your connections in your community, and just your passions, what would be your best potential markets, your three best potential markets? Maybe you've got two really good friends on the local police department. That might be a really good place. You've got some insiders there who could be advocates for you. Maybe you know the police chaplain in your community. That would be really great because you could offer to do some things with him in terms of bringing some of this training to law enforcement officers and their spouses. Maybe you've got some really good connections with a couple of churches and you know the pastors well. That might be a great place to start. I would look for the low-hanging fruit, the places where you can get are likely to get a positive response. When people settled Montana years ago and other parts of the country as well, and they came out with limited means, you know, a limited amount of things they could carry with them, they had a small, you know, bag of wheat to plant, they had to look around and see what is the best soil where I can take this, you know, one bushel of wheat, plant it, get a return, and then expand more and more as I produce more and more wheat. And so typically it was river bottoms. It was lush, good soil, well watered, they could have a crop there. Here in Montana, all the initial settlements, all the agriculture was in the river valleys. But in time, it moved up higher and higher. We call it, you know, dry land farming now. So we're farming a lot of land. So you can do the same thing. Find where the soil is the richest, where you'd have the best chance of actually getting some productive fruit out of your efforts. As you do that, it could expand. And that's where people who do this full time, conciliation training, they started small, got a good return, kept their regular practice or ministry. But I just talked to a couple today, and they're so excited about getting into this as a full-time ministry, and they're going to complement another aspect we've been doing for a while. But they're stepping down from their position in their church to launch to finally step out in full-time ministry. But they've done a lot of groundwork, a lot of training. They're well prepared to do it. They've got a good support base to do that as well. So, having said all that, we've got just a few minutes for some questions about how to do this practically. Candy.
I would accomplish two things in one fell swoop. Reminding you of what you just did with the emotional wisdom and how you got this little fear of, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. is this going to match up? I attended in, I believe it was at Ron, I know it was Robbie Monsma's house in Denver, when you did a local get-together, and you were talking about you just went to Africa, the Gary Friesen. Mm-hmm. And I think Gary was with you. I'm not sure if Gary was with you. And you had this fear of, here's peacemaking, and we put into the African culture, is it going to go through? And it went through. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm just going to remind you of that. So, but I think that's one of the major marketing ways. Robbie pulled together a bunch of influential people, and you had a great presentation, a great story, and everyone there, I don't know where you drew them and how, and I don't know what you were doing on the marketing side because I was still new to it all, but that friend-related gathering, 15, 20 people were there, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much. That should have been a prominent part of this. I'd forgotten entirely about that, Candy. Yeah. And what it is, you are tapping into the credibility and network of other people. Robbie, I met Robbie, she knew me, she grew to trust me and respect me, and so she said, come on down and I will contact my friend. It's like the centurion in Acts. Come, I got this guy named Peter coming to my house, and he brought all of his friends together. So if you've got some people who've got networks out there who know you well enough that they will vouch for you, that if they say this is something worth listening to and their friend's going to believe them, that's a huge way to start doing this. That's a really good suggestion. Thank you for adding that, Candy. It's huge. What other questions do you have about how to do any of this?
Yes. So if you're saying that we can be teachers and facilitators and coaches and have a return, so does that mean an individual would establish their own LLC? Because it's not that your organization is going to compensate the coach, is it?
That we're going to do what?
You're not going to facilitate the compensation.
No.
Okay, so.
Now,
what you would do,
let's say that 6 months.
What was the question?
Yeah. Well, the question is, how do we facilitate a financial return? Do we have to be involved in that in some way? At least that's what I understand you asking.
Yes.
No. Let's say 6 months from now, you've been certified as an RW instructor, and you go out and you go to a local insurance company owned by a Christian. He knows that good relational skills make his agents more profitable. He's read some stuff on EI. He hears what you're doing. And he said, yeah, come on in and do some training. And he's going to say, what's your fee? And you're going to gulp and think, well, maybe $50. But you're going to say $1,500 for the day. He says, great. And when you do the training, he writes out a check for $1,500 in your name. It's yours.
Right, but I need a business entity.
Not necessarily. You can do it individually. You don't need a business entity.
Sole proprietorship.
Yeah. It's sole proprietorship. You don't have to be formally established at all. I should add one thing, though, lest I mislead you. The arrangement we have with our certified instructors is not mandatory, but everybody gladly lives up to it, is if you go out, use our material to do training, and you get, say, $1,500, our request is that 10% of that comes back to us. So that's where we have a little bit of return on our investment. But you don't have to have an LLC or anything formally established. It can just be to you, Lisa. You can do it.
And you don't track that. Mm-hmm. So you're really handing some trust.
We do have secret agents that do go around. No, it's a relationship of trust. Yeah, it very much is. And I've been thrilled when I heard about the instructor recently going out and doing a 3-hour presentation and getting a $1,600 check. I thought, wow. And I would just say, when you start talking, almost every person I talk to that trains our material undervalues their stuff. They feel embarrassed to ask more than $100. And the line that I usually use, even myself, but especially instructors, you get started. I mean, when you first start doing, you may do it for free just because you want to get the experience, and that's fine. But what you can do is you can say, someone asks you, what's the cost to do a 3-hour training? You'd say, well, my normal fee is $1,500, but I'm very willing to negotiate in special circumstances. So you've set the bar at least, and you basically establish the fact that my training is worth $1,500. And that's one thing you want to say. You don't want to say my training is worth $150, because then you say, that probably isn't worth bringing in. So you set the bar there, and if you want to negotiate something, fine. But I've found that businesses in particular don't flinch at all on that. That's a very small financial investment for this kind of training. So you can do it. Again, I do not encourage you to think you can quit your job and go out and do this and have, you know, four of these lined up every week right away. But I'm thrilled to see some people are getting the initial thing. I say, I'd love to see you earn at least enough revenue through doing either conciliation coaching or instructing to cover the cost of coming to the conference every year. That'd be sort of a benchmark. Other questions about how to do this? Okay, well, let me just say that we are available at our office. We get calls all the time about, hey, I've got this opportunity, how do I do this, and what do I do here? And we are very happy to work with you on that. And I'll just tell you, one of the things I'd like to do down the road, since I'm talking to a group of people who have any interest in promotion and marketing, I would be thrilled to eventually form a focus group or a committee of volunteer people who are doing this on a regular basis, who make themselves available as mentors to other people just starting. Where if someone wanted a question about, I'm just starting, how do I get something? But they could call somebody within that group instead of our staff and just talk to someone who's already walked down that road for a couple of years and has some practical ideas. So if this turns out to be something you're pretty enthused about and see some real exciting fruit, that might be something to consider doing someday. So, okay, let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace and giving us opportunities to not so much generate money for the sake of money. We know that you know that we do need to provide for our needs, our shelter and food and our families. And Lord, we know that you will do that. But Lord, most of all, we're excited to share Jesus. We're excited to share Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would use these resources combined with the gifts and talents and life experiences you've invested in the people in this room. Bring them together, Lord, in a way that opens many, many doors to share the love of Jesus Christ and his gospel of eternal life. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much.
Okay, Ken, can I have like 2 or 3 minutes?
Sure, while I pack up, if you don't mind.
Yes, that's fine.
Sure.
Okay, so...